hard, and they aren't going to look to God at all. And therefore, when we came to chapter 9, verse 23, God reminded them, remember, chapter 9 and verse 21, for death 9 and 21, for death has come up into your windows and has entered into your palaces to cut off the children from without and the young men from the streets, so that the whole system is going to be leveled. Death. There's no children playing. There's no normal activity. It's all gone. Nebuchadnezzar is going to do what he does. And so then we share in verse 23, don't be trusting yourself. Don't be trusting your wisdom. Don't be trusting your might. Don't be trusting your riches. Personally, don't be looking and say, well, I can do this or I can do that. And then we share together in verse 25 and 26, don't be trusting any ritual. If we just have certain rituals we do, that we do and prescribe feast, sacrifices, all the things that we do, if we do them without a heart, it's no good. So they aren't going to help you. So if you just say, well, I'm doing all the religious stuff that is needed, ritual, it won't work. It won't work. And then God takes it a step further in chapter 10 and says in verse 2, thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. So don't be, here's your own personal thing. Here's your own religious activity. And now, don't be looking out there. And how are other nations, how are other people surviving and succeeding? And don't be doing that. Don't do that. Don't follow them. Don't, you're looking. There's no hope and there's no help. So don't be doing that at all. So now, when we came then, and then he's going to tell what they have. They have all kinds of idolatry, all kinds of ways to substitute someone or something in place of God. Idolatry. Put someone or something in place of God. Don't put yourself. Don't count on your ritual. And then here in chapter 10, out there, all the people are counting on their systems, their religious systems. And don't do that. So there's no help from idols. And we shared that together. Idols are powerless. So when you come to chapter 10 and in verse 5, the idols that they make are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. In other words, you build the totem pole or something, and you carve it and create it and do everything, and they never speak. It's an idol. You created the idol. And they must be carried, because you stand them up. If you want them to move, you got to go help them move. And in the process, because they can't go, verse 5, therefore, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of them. And the danger is, because people are afraid, people tend to worship and bow down. And therefore, if you were in a certain part of the country at a certain time, somewhere in the world, you would see thousands of Muslims, thousands of them probably, all bowed down, all down, all down. And you say, wow, wow. And they're there, and you say, wow, what's going to happen? You don't want to, it doesn't matter if there's two people or thousands of them. It's an idol. And idols, in the end of verse 5, can do no evil or bad. They also do no good. They're powerless. They're just an idol that you made. That's all they are. So now, and don't be afraid of them. So when you come to verse 6, for as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, there's no one like you, no one. Thou art great, and thy name is great in might. So God, you're a great God. So we're contrasting the idols and the system And we're contrasting that with God each time. And so when you're doing what you do, they do idols, and idols are foolishness. And so here they are doing them. But in contrast to God, there's none like him. His name is great in might, strength, valor. His name is. So God, there's no one like you. So why do we want to get caught up in idols? Why do we want to copy what people do to try to seem to find happiness, etc.? We don't need to do that. And here you are looking at the end of verse 6 maybe. Thy name is great in might, strength, valor, power, the power of life, mighty achievements. God, your name is great. It does whatever. You speak and it's done. Uh-huh. So now, having said that, just to apply that little part, over in chapter 9 and verse 23, you see the word might in the end of verse 6. Now you're going to slide your eye over, if you like, to chapter 9 and verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. And there's your word. So here's a person going to trust their own might, their own valor, their own strength, their own power of life. And don't do that. Don't do that at all. On the contrary, when you're going to talk about might or valor or strength, you're going to have to look to God. And when you look to God, yours is nothing. Yours is nothing. So don't be looking, because how are you going to stop Nebuchadnezzar? How are you going to stop the evil? How are you going to stop the inroads of what's happening? Well, you can't do that. No, you can't. So now, just taking it a step further, we don't want to do it in ourselves. We want to do it because God is strong. So I want to tap that resource. And to do so, in my mind, Isaiah chapter 30, in Isaiah chapter 30, you remember a statement in verse 15, 30 and 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, and in quietness and confidence. What happens then? In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Now there's the word might that you have in Jeremiah chapter 10. So God, you are strong, mighty in your name, in all you do. And God, when we look to you, how are we going to find it? Not in ourselves at all. In the end of verse 15, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength, and you wouldn't do it. So you wouldn't trust me, and that's why the 10 tribes in Israel went into captivity. And you slide your eye over to verse 16, just to tie it together, 30 and 16. But ye said, no, for we will flee upon horses, therefore shall we flee. Ye flee, and we will ride upon the swift, therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. So we're going to try to go and overcome, use the system, beat the system, have a better horse, a better something, a better plan, and it isn't going to work. It just isn't going to work. In quietness and confidence, you'd be strong and mighty, but you don't do that. You didn't do that at all. And one other place where you're thinking of it, over to 1 Chronicles. God would provide, but they don't look to God. So they're looking to the system, the idols, and putting something or someone in place of God. And 1 Chronicles chapter 29, picking up please in verse 11. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power, there's your word, might, strength, valor. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. There's nothing that isn't yours. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, For thou art exalted as head above all. Verse 12. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. God, you are sovereign in everything. Over all. Verse 12. And in thy hand is power. And then you have the word might, again, the same as the word power in verse 11. You go down to the word might in verse 12, all the same word, valor, valor, strength, and the power of life. And so in verse 12, and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. So, but Israel is not doing that at all. They're not doing that. They could, but they aren't. They just aren't doing it. And so God has eliminated their own personal thing and all their rituals that they do, that feast and fast and sacrifices and everything that we do, we worship. You know, it's not going to do it. No, you have to trust God with your heart. So now, over if you would please, back over to Jeremiah. And in chapter 10. So God is great. So you're contrasting, remember, the idols. You don't need to be afraid of them. You don't need to be afraid of them. There's an idol. There's a thing to be afraid of. And they're powerless. They're powerless. People use them, but they have no good. They have no bad. They're just an idol. Thus, in verse 7, for who would not fear thee, O Lord, O King of nations, for to thee doth it appertain, that is, it's fitting, it's suitable, it's becoming. It is quite becoming to fear you, God, to reverence your name. Who would not fear, reverence you, O King of nations, for it is quite fitting, it is your due. You ought to receive the honor and the glory. And for as much as among all the wise men of the nations, remember back over in chapter 9, verse 23, they were trusting the wise men. There's your verse 23, chapter 9. Now you're going to go back to chapter 10 and verse 7. You have wise men. So the people that know the answers, the people study and do all kinds of things, but it isn't going to work. The wise men of the nations, in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. So God, when we're going to sit down and objectively weigh everything, everyone, in any way, you always come out the winner. So when we want to talk about you, we want to talk about one idol versus another idol. You can do that. One religious versus another religion. You can do that. And you can do all kinds of things like that. And get away with it. But when it comes to God, none of it works. There is no way, God. No way at all. All of our efforts and energies fall flat on their face. Now, so here, in the light of that, in verse 7, and keeping in mind who is fearing you. They ought to be fearing you, but they aren't. They should be awesomely disturbed by the crisis. You know, you could have something going to happen, or whatever it is, and you look at the something, and you could be, or whatever it is, and you could be very much disturbed by it, and moved by it, frightened by it. But then we look to God, and God isn't frightened at all. It isn't a problem. The big problem on earth is no problem to God. So I want to learn to look to God, and I want to fear him in verse 7, who would not fear thee, O King of nations. Now, slide your eye back over to chapter 5 for a moment, because God has been telling them to fear, but they don't pay attention. And God says it over and over again. You ought to pay attention. And there's no comparison I'm going to mention God in my heart, in my head, and all of a sudden, everything takes its proper position. So here in Jeremiah chapter 9, and in verse 21, hear now this, O foolish people, 5 and 21, hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me? Aren't you going to fear? Reverence? Aren't you going to be struck with awe? Respect? Fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence? And who does? You're always in the presence of God, but we don't pay attention to it. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will you not tremble at my presence, which have placed, and as we think about it, the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass it? And so God hears all the oceans and stuff, all these big rocks. But think of all the places in the world. Here's our world, 70% water out there with the oceans. And how does God stop? Just sand, beach. And the ocean rises and falls. That's all. How do you stop it, God? I just put sand there, and I told it not to cross. I told it not to cross. It isn't going to cross. Now, you ought to be impressed when God does that. God, you can do that. Oh, you do. You do. And thus, verse 22, and though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail? Though they roar, yet can they not pass over. The waves are big, big storms. And they roll up on the beach and then they go back. They don't gain ground. They don't gain ground at all. They go right back to where they were. So now, in verse 23. But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, they aren't saying that, and that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, all the rain of seasons, in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities, verse 25, have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. God, you would do wonderful things. I would. But you know what? You got too many other things in the way. You got in my place. Nothing takes my place. Nothing at all takes my place. Back over, if you would, to chapter 10. In chapter 10, picking up, please. And going into verse 8. For they are altogether brutish. Now that means here's all the nations, here's all the things they do. They are brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine, instruction of vanities. In other words, no idol ever gave you good instruction. No religious system ever gave you good instruction. Never did, no. And in verse 8, they are altogether brutish and foolish. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind, and so the word brutish, you're looking at that word, and remember that means the word field, a field out in the grass, field, work. It's an uncultivated, wild field. Nothing's there. Just nothing. Uncultivated. Wild. And that's the word. And thus it comes out, as you would read, as you put it all together, it comes out, lack of cultivation, lack of stillness, and then we have the word stupidity, which is a very good word. You want to know what brutish means? It means stupidity. Stupid. That's what it means. And what does it mean? Well, all that they're doing is stupid. All that they're doing is stupid. That's all it is. It isn't going anywhere. Nothing's going to happen good from it. And it's lacking cultivation. It's no use. You can't do anything with it. Ignorance, stupidity, brutish. We have a word, boorish. Boorish. Of a person, boorish. Now, in the light of that stupidity, and I don't often have a thing, but I just happen to have this one that because I want to lighten it up for you. This is my little thing on brutish. A new teacher was trying to make use of her psychology courses, and she started her class by saying, "Everyone who thinks they're stupid, stand up." After a few seconds, little Johnny stood up, and the teacher said, "Do you think you're stupid, little Johnny?" And he said, "No, ma'am, but I hate to see you standing there all by your lonesome." Stupid, 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 stupid. Why is it stupid? Because all the angels know better. Humans tend to make their system, and they cling to it like this. This is it, and it will never make it. And in the light of reality, it's stupid. It's uncultivated. It's a dumb thing you do. When you put God up against it, it's stupid. If you don't leave God out, you can make anything work. Bring God into the picture, and it doesn't work. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, then, and looking at our word, over if you would please, oh, Psalm 49. Psalm 49. And we're going to look at this word to just get a handle on it better. Psalm 49. May I start in verse 5? Wherefore should I fear? Why am I going to fear in the days of evil? When the iniquity of my heels shall compass me about. It's right on my heels. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. There's no way in all of our ingenuity and everything that you can help anybody. You could save anybody. $1 billion, you can't save him. 100,000 good works, seemingly, you can't do it. Thus, verse 8, for the redemption of their soul is precious, very valuable, and it ceaseth forever, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die. Now, we've just been looking at wise men. Wise men are counting on our wisdom, our skill. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beast that perish. He's no better than the animal. But boy, we did. We built a pyramid. We went to the moon. We landed on a comet. You're no better with all of that. You're no better. All you did is do what you could do using my laws, and you didn't know me. You lost out. Psalm 49, verse 10, you are brutish. Over, if you would please. Over, it's Psalm 92. All I'm doing is just running it by you so you can see it. Psalm 92, picking up, please, directly in verse 5. O Lord, 92, 5. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man, uncultivated, stupid, a brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. God, you are something else, but we don't want to consider that. So we're going to leave you out and manufacture, make, manipulate our world to be our God and serve us. And when we're all done with the system that we create, it is totally unable to help us. There is no hope, and there is no help, as I said. There's no Savior, no solution when we're all done. When we're all done with it, it ends up with nothing. So, boy, wouldn't it be good to learn that right off? Save a person a lot of trouble. Over, if you would, Psalm 94. Psalm 94. Psalm 94, please, if I can. Oh, picking up in verse 8. Understand, ye brutish among the people, ye fools, when will you be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chasteneth, punishes, disciplines. He that chasteneth the heathen, shall not he correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall he not know? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Verse 12, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of the law. God, we need to go and look to you. And if we look to you properly, we're going to learn well. And then we aren't going to go and start trusting ourselves on how to make it. It isn't going to work that way, no matter what, no matter when, no matter how, no matter where. It's not going to work. Over, if you would please, in your Bible, to Psalm 73. In Psalm 73, and picking up if I can, remember the psalmist is helping us, and you'll get the flavor of it, because that's what happens with Israel. We're looking for a solution in a crisis from the wrong place. And Psalm 73, may I go to verse 1, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Now, verse 3. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Well, look at how they get along. Look at how they work, home, come, go, in their social life, economic life. Look at out there, and you see all that. And you look at that and say, boy, I don't have that. Your grass is always greener somewhere else. And so now, having said that, now you're going to slide down to get the idea. Verse 6, therefore pride compassed them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Verse 7, their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than heart could wish. And so you're getting real, boy, I like to be able to do what they do and have what they have, and I have to go the same route. No, I don't need to go that route, but that's what we think. So now, having said that, and you go through it all, and looking, and you get all worked up and all worn out, trying to copy, trying to do something, and you need to understand always, God is going to deal with you as a person, individual. So when you try to have a group, God deals with groups, but each within the group, God deals with. All persons are different for many reasons. And God deals with a person. You want to look to God to deal with your life in the light of your character, conduct, where you live, the way you've been brought up, how you handle life. You want to look to God personally. So I don't need to copy anyone. I'm not in competition. I'm not envious. I don't want to be jealous. God, here I am. And the whole key, when it's done, is for God to take a person and do a wonderful work in their heart, isn't it? It isn't to make them head of Pratt & Whitney. It isn't to do that. It's to do a wonderful thing in their heart. And that's why they're on planet Earth, and that's why you're living, for God to do that. So you ten, don't start copying wrongly. You don't want to do, and picking up Psalm 73, and when I thought, verse 16, I looked at this, I was trying to figure it all out, verse 16, Psalm 73, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Boy, I was struggling until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end. That whole system, that world system, religious, political, social, is condemned. I lost track of that. I don't want to get on a ship that's destined to sink. I don't want to get on that ship. In my journey through time, I want to stay on the right path so that I make it. I don't want to join your ships. No. And so thus, when I went to the sanctuary, then I understood their end. Now, sliding down, as you know, in verse 22, so foolish. Now, there's your word brutish. Brutish, foolish. So foolish, so brutish. I was as a beast, an animal. I was no different than a mule. So foolish, brutish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee, and thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. God, who have I? Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. So God, there is no replacement of you. What are you trying to tell us in Jeremiah 10? There is no replacement for God. So you're trying to make all these different things work for you. And it isn't going to work. You just can't replace God. Simple. Simple little trust. Except you become as a little child, you won't know. But a little child doesn't have all the answers, no. A little child is smart enough to be humble enough to recognize that we are stupid, brutish, ignorant, apart from God. And we humble ourselves. So foolish was I, verse 22, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee, God. So here I am, rough, uncultivated, wild, stupid. God, I don't want to be like that. That's what the world system is. If you tell them that, they won't like that. But it's true. It's true. It's just not going to work. Not going to work. Over to Psalm 32. I don't want to be as a beast in the wrong way at all. And in Psalm 32, you are familiar with that great section. In verse 6, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. You're going to surround me. So God, here I am traveling down the corridor of time, and you're going to surround me with your wonderful, wonderful grace and your saving grace. So you're going to keep the heart in perfect peace? I am. Now, verse 8, I will instruct thee, said God, and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I will instruct thee, I will teach thee, I will guide thee Verse 9, be not as the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. God said, I don't want you to be like that. I want you to be very flexible with me, very easy, relaxed, you know, to do it. You aren't trying to play God, are you? You don't play God. You don't help God. You're not going to trust God and do the best you can with whatever you have, as you are at any given time. You're going to do that. And God, you're going to go and help us. That's right. I don't want you to be like a horse or mule, though. They have to put a bit and bridle. You got to pull and get them to move. I don't want to have to do that to you. And God, I don't want to be brutish. I don't want to be brutish. I want to understand. So now, back over to Jeremiah 7. Or 10, I should say. Jeremiah chapter 10. So as we're looking, chapter 10 and verse 8, but they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stalk is a doctrine of vanities. It's useless to try to get information from an idol. It can't do it. Therefore, and if we go and make it very, very, make the religious system very, very grand. And we're going to go and decorate it. Silver is spread into its plates, is brought from Tarshish, and the gold from Uphaz, the work of the workmen and of the hands of the founder. Blue and purple is their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men. So if we just decorate the idol and make it very, 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 very wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. You know, if we just do that, God, it'll make it. Do you remember what they did when Israel had the problem in the wilderness because they weren't going to wait for Moses, trust Moses? And so they went and made a golden calf, you remember? Made a golden calf. They made a golden calf, that's right. Just like the Egyptians, golden calf. And they did that. That was a dumb move. A dumb move, and they did it. And you know what? History. They never got over it. Oh, they will. They will get over it, but it always haunts them. And it hinders them in what they do. The golden calf. We have substitutes for God. We have a substitute. We have a system, a solution. And I don't want to do that. God, I want to just rest in your presence. That's all. I don't have to do anything. Go on. So now, in the light of that, verse 10. But the Lord is the true God, in contrast. He is the living God. He's an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation when he comes. So when it's all done, you're going to lose. So you got all tied up in your idols. And if you do, that isn't good. And the system, what other people do and find, try to get help and hope, it isn't going to work. It just isn't going to work. So now, we don't want to be, you're going to be no better than the idol you're trusting. And the idol people trust, person, something, or someone in place of God, and it cannot give any help at all. It won't do anything. And thus, in contrast, verse 9 with verse 10, you try to decorate that golden calf, you try to do everything, and it just doesn't work. Just doesn't work. So now, over if you would please, in the light of that. Oh, over to 1 Corinthians. There's different ways to do this, but here's one of them. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we read it the other day. 12 and 2. What do we know, God? What did you warn the Corinthians about? Verse 2. Ye know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. So you operated your life based on the system in which you live, where you were culture, the background, and you had your system of doing it. And you trusted that system. That's what you did. That's what you used to do. You should have got saved. And in the process, when you get saved, things change. Over, if you would please, to 1 John. And in 1 John chapter 5, you remember how the 1 John closes. So you have to know the significance. You have to know the significance of idols. You mean idols are a problem? God's trying to tell you. You have no idea. Say, I'm not idolatrous. You may be more than you know. More than you know. Because you're putting something or someone all the time. You don't mean to do it. Just don't understand. You just do it. So when we come, John, 1 John 5, 21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Keep yourselves from idols. Knowing, don't want to be brutish. Nope. On the contrary, I want to make sure I understand. Therefore, verse 20, 5 and 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. In order that what? We may know him that is true, genuine, real. We are in him that is true, genuine, real. Even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true, genuine, real God and eternal life. So we aren't going to get tied up in idols. Anyone, no one, nothing takes your place, God. Period. No one, nothing. So when, verse 12, chapter 5, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he that hath the Son, God, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So God, when I receive the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I'm done with idolatry. I have to learn how easy it is to do it, how easy it is to copy and pick it up, but I'm going to learn and be totally, totally dependent upon you. I'm going to learn that. It's going to take a little bit, God, and I'm going to learn, like it says in, you want to turn just a page, chapter 4, 1 John, verse 6, verse 4. Chapter 4, verse 4. You are of God, little children, remember, keep yourselves from idols, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So God, I don't need to trust, get caught up in idolatry. I don't need to get trussed up where I'm starting to trust my friends, my family, the world I live in, my intellect, my brains, and the try to copy what people do. It works for them, so therefore, Psalm 73, so therefore maybe it'll work for me. That's how they got ahead. I'm going to get ahead. No, I don't need to get ahead. I just need to get along with you, God, properly. And if I get along with you, God, properly, I'm all set. When it's all done, God, I'm going to be the winner. No matter how you cut the cookie, I'm going to win. Because my heart, your heart, is locked on. That's a winner. That's a winner. Now, in closing, over if you would, to 1 Thessalonians. And in 1 Thessalonians, chapter 1, you remember, Thessalonians were in, had troublous times and heartache and hardship, just like in Jerusalem. And there they were, and God did a wonderful work in their heart, and God delivered them from all the, here's the northern part of Greece, and all the idolatry, southern part, northern part of Greece, all the idolatry, Now, what did you do? We have our temple, we have different religions, and we do. Well, what did you do for these Thessalonian believers? In verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you And you want to slide your eye over to verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. So you didn't hear some wishy-washy thing. You got a straight shot at understanding. God happens to be God. He's able to save to the uttermost. Back over to verse 9. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. That's what you did. God, I got saved. I stopped the idolatry. And by the way, I don't get into it because I'm waiting, verse 10, I'm waiting for his son out from the heavens, plural, I'm waiting for his son out from the heavens, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And you just read in Jeremiah chapter 10, and in verse 10, God is all these things, and the world is concerned about the wrath, his vindication of everything coming. And so here we are, idols are there, and we're going to learn not to trust them. It's a simple thing, and God's very personal, what he's going to do. God's going to work in my heart, your heart, personally. He's going to do a wonderful thing, and we're going to wait on God. And I have to learn it because you have to go through the heartache and headache of discipline, learning. You know, you do a lot of, come on, all right. You do a lot of stupid things. You do a lot of stupid things. Brutish. That's what you do. And isn't it good God doesn't quit? He doesn't quit. He lets you go through it. And you learn. You learn. I learn. I got it. I'm getting it, God. I'm getting it. Wow. And it's wonderful. It isn't hard. In fact, life is so simple. Did you ever know that? It's so simple just to breathe, and you do it what you can, the best you can, with what you have and how you can do it, and you relax. And God, there you are. Isn't that what you want, God? It is. We said, think of Sunday school, rejoice in the Lord, what? Always. Rejoice in the Lord always. And in everything by prayer, looking to God, and with thanksgiving and everything, thanking God for everything. Well, it's a rather simple life. That's how it is. Shouldn't I get tied up in it? No, I don't. I don't need to. That doesn't mean you want to be responsible and do your part and do what you should do. But you don't want to. You want to make sure you're trusting God. You do your best you can, but you're trusting God. That's what you want to do. And God, that's what you do. You wonderfully do it because you're God. And that's what Jeremiah 10. Who ought not to fear you, O King of all nations? Who ought not to fear you? What fools, brutish people, they don't do it. Wow. So, anyway, I trust you got a little bit. And remember, Lord willing, if the Lord tarries, we have the dinner on Friday, I think, Friday. And remember the Bible line, the Sunday school classes, the teachers, the website.